Hey, what's going on,
Love
y'all?
Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is Jay Ross, and you're on Soul Cravers Radio. And oh my God, I am so ecstatic about having these ladies here. I mean, it is so major. Oh my God. The legendary ladies of Sky are in the house, all three members.
Yay!
Yes,
we are. Yes,
long time.
Yes.
Yes, we made it. Yes. And introduce yourselves, ladies.
Okay, so as you said, we are the Ladies of Sky, the Dunning Sisters, as known to many people. And my name is Denise Dunning Wilkinson, and I am the oldest sister.
And my name is Bonnie Dunning Williams, and I am the younger sister.
And I'm Dolores Dunning Milligan, and I'm the middle.
Yes, known as the legendary Ladies of Sky, I call them.
Thank you.
God. And we got so much to like talk about, but so much good news. If anybody's following them, I mean, they've been just spreading the love and just telling everybody what's going on. But the main thing I want to talk about, I want you guys to introduce the main thing, what people need to know, what's about to happen in March. Introduce that, please.
Okay, well, we're going to start with spilling the orange juice, right, Jay? We're going to get to the tea later, right?
Yes, we're going to get to the tea, the hot chocolate, and the grapefruit juice. We're going to get to
Well, we are so happy to announce that after filming almost a year ago,
It's been that long.
Our unsung episode is going to be aired. It has been announced and currently scheduled for March 15th. So all the fans out there who have TV One. Yes, we'll be able to hear and watch and see the story of Sky and the happy ending of the Ladies of Sky continuing the legacy of that music. But what we love about this episode is that it includes some key people that are involved in Sky, with Sky, the original band, and really pays homage to the entire band. That is what we're most proud of, I think, in that segment. You know what I mean? Because Solomon was one of the original members and founders of Sky.
Right.
In it, as it is.
Oh, wow.
Randy Meinberger, our co-producer. And a host of other friends and close people who were instrumental in our careers got to be involved in it. And I think it's one of the more interesting shows because it really talks about the ups and downs of the music, musical career. We spent 13 years as a group. Actually, we started before that. We were 13 years professionally, but you know, our group started back in 76. That was the first album, but the group was together. So we had a long association with Solomon Roberts, Butch Sierra, Gerald LeBon, Tommy McConnell, our keyboard players. We had three keyboard players over the course of the group, and so this is going to really chronicle our musical career from inception to the demise of Sky. And then, of course, it continues. The saga continues with the Ladies of Sky, of course.
Right. And the thing about the episode that the other members of the group are still letting you guys go on as the Ladies of Sky than as the whole group Sky. And that's a good thing because, you know, a lot of groups, when they, like, separate and break up, they also make their own versions of the groups. But I'm just astounded that the group is actually let you guys go on to carry the legacy of the Sky brand. It's a wow. I'm just like, wow.
Well, because,
go ahead.
Well, because they, you know what, they didn't really have, there was no reason for them not to. They decided to do, you know, like what they wanted to do, and they let us off into this, you know, into the sunset with their, you know, complete blessing. So we were like really, really cool with that. And I think one year we did summer stage in Central Park, and Butch came and played lead guitar for our set.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, like people are still involved, and, you know, like I said, they gave us their blessing, and are really, really very happy for us as well.
And I think, too, it's because when Sky disbanded, we didn't break up on bad terms.
We weren't mad.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we weren't fighting. And so it just happened. It was something that just happened. And I think the guys were felt very privileged that we just still wanted to continue with the sound of Sky. And so they gave us their blessing.
Wow, that's a good thing. And then they're able to talk about it on this episode. So I'm looking forward to this. This is like one of my bucket list episodes. So I made a bucket list of all the unsung episodes that I want to see, and yours came up number one. I swear, I said.
Oh, wow.
I actually talked to Bonnie back then on Messenger. We was talking about it, and then she was like, "I don't know," because. You know, because everybody on those episodes, some of them, they want drama. But I'm just glad that this is focusing on the music, and that's what I like about branding artists that talk about the music, not your personal life, who you dated, who you got married to. We want to know about the music. Yeah.
Well,
and I'm just like,
you know, I think, Jay, it's because with us being sisters, we've always brought a family atmosphere to the group. You know what I'm saying? The fact that we're sisters, when we met Solomon and Randy and all the guys in the band, and when we used to travel on the road, we were like one big happy family, really. I mean, you know, of course everybody has their moments with, you know, there's disagreements or whatever, but nothing so serious that it affected our ability to produce and perform to our audiences. You know, the audience ultimately are the people that we have to satisfy. You know what I mean? So
exactly. That
family attitude that we always had, even with our road crew, I mean, we probably had one of the few groups where we used to go and actually get food for the road crew, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because if we
had
a day ache, we were working a lot harder than we were, you know what I mean? Setting things up, breaking things down, dealing with other people, dealing with other crews, and we always wanted to make sure that our crew understood and realized that they were no different from the rest of us. They had their job and we had ours, but they were going to be part of the family no matter what.
Right. And then also, I grew up listening to you guys, and I just saw the transitioning of you guys' fashion trend. We're going to get into that right now. It's like, you guys came out. I said, okay, they came out as Sky, like from another planet with the futuristic, you know, costumes. And, you know, around that time, that's what was in with a lot of groups. And then, like, each album, you guys just progress. And then I said, okay, they finally landed on Earth because I started seeing you guys start getting with the fashion trend.
You had to land sometime.
Yes, with the Skyline album. And then actually, which that was you guys' first gold album with Call Me.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, it's very interesting. One of our recent videos that we put on our YouTube channel shows, we have an amazing media team, by the way, Lycan Media. And
I follow.
Yes. So, for the listening audience, you guys should subscribe to the Ladies of Sky channel, but also Lycan Media. So he helped us to, you know, for us, we've lived it. So a lot of times it's not as prominent in our minds, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But you're
yes.
absolutely right. In the beginning, we started out with the outer space outfits because the 70s was a Star Wars, Star Trek, you know, all of the
exactly.
sort of outer space shows were influencing everything. And as well as most artists of the time wore costumes.
Wore costumes.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Most artists, I mean, if you go back to that time and you look at all of the groups that came out around that time, everybody had on costumes. So
right.
it you see the transition as your music grows and as you get mature, then your look starts to mature. And so
yes.
our music started to mature, and so we had no choice but to follow suit as far as the way we looked on an album cover and on stage.
Exactly. And then also, when I look at you guys, stage performance, videos, and, you know, even live performances, you guys have a good presence. I mean, from head to toe. And I'm like, oh, okay. I love them because you guys trend to go to like the 80s and then like the late 80s. It's like you guys caught up with the times of music and was still to be able to put out good quality music. And I feel that a lot of these, the industry counts you guys out. Because
that may very well be currently because, you know, the demographic that most music is skewed to are the 17, you know, because remember, think about this. When I'm going to go back to when we were like 10, 11, 12, whatever. Our musical, I'm going to go way back now, Jay. Don't be like the new model.
Because we already know.
Yeah, yes. When we were growing up, right, our musical influence was our parents because we
right.
did not have access to our own cell phones. There was no such thing. Let's start with
exactly.
that. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So our musical influences, if we were to tell you who we were influenced by, it's going to be Brooke Benton. It's going to be
Ray
Charles. It's going to be
all the big bands that
yeah,
came out back then.
Yeah.
Sarah Vaughan.
Nancy Wilson, those are the people we grew up listening to.
It was going to be anything that was on a 45.
That's right, because our parents
right.
would buy 45 records, whatever our parents
that's
bought,
right.
until radio really started to come into play. WCBS, that's what we used to listen to. And then when BLS, you know, came into play. Right, WWRL was first on the AM. So then we started to kind of define our own, you know, musical tastes. But young people now, their musical tastes are defined early because they have social media, they have cell phones, and
right.
they want to listen to the younger artists, per se. So
right.
that's why we're so happy that we still appeal to our fans from the 80s, and by having this new presence through social media, we know
mm-hmm.
that we also affect young people as well.
We
performed at a wedding. Tell them about the wedding that we performed at and the little girls ran you down in a lady
group. Yeah. We were at a Janice surprise. We surprised one of Janice's friends, well, her husband, really, at their wedding reception. And after we did our show or whatever, I happened to go into the ladies' room, and these 12-year-old girls were like, oh, my God, you're such a star. Oh, we just love you. Can I have your autograph? It's like 12-year-old girls. I was shocked out of my mind. Said, oh, my God, you're so beautiful. I was like, oh,
yay. Well, thank you. Yeah. So, really, you know, we're starting to, you know, the whole idea and the use of social media right now is to let people know, for those who have been fans of our music, we're still here. We're still doing what we do. You know what
right.
I mean? We're still performing. Our music, even though our last big hit was in 1993 with Start of a Romance, you know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah, that's
and Real Love, it still impacts people. You know what I mean? It still affects people. So for people to be able to see us still doing it live, That is a plus for everybody.
When we did the Orange County Film Fest, there was kids in the audience that was like 10, 11, 12 years old.
That's right.
But and they weren't even. It was mostly a Hispanic
crowd. Yeah.
Of
wow.
People
right.
In California, we did the Orange County Film Fest, and you could see like all of these kids just like bobbing their heads and like really, really into the music. They, you know, they could care less if there was. Somebody, Beyonce or anybody else for that matter.
And I think, too, what really surprises people is that the fact that when they do come to see us, we aren't just singing. They are surprised that we are still moving around. Now,
why?
We might be a little bit sore after we come off stage, they're surprised. I mean, I've heard people say that they were literally surprised because they did not. That's not what they expected. And so I always say to myself, well, what is it that they expected, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think it's that they know that in the 80s when we were hot, that's what we did. And I think they're still surprised that here we are in 2019 and 2020, that we're still doing what we did back
exactly.
in 1982.
Right, and then, like, with the impact of you guys' songs, like, Call Me, I've been hearing that, like, on so many rap samples, and also in the beginning of the movie Beauty Shop with Queen Latifah, and I was like, this song is, like, an impact. Like, every time you play Call Me, everybody just jump up and like, hey! And it's like, you relive the moments, but we're about to get into the song because I was listening to the lyric content of it. And
yes.
I want to know, if was it based on a personal experience?
Well, you know what? We always say we don't know what the heck was on Randy Muller's mind.
It didn't have anything to do with any of us.
Right. It was not from a personal experience of ourselves. But you know what? Randy Muller, as a composer and writer.
And arranger
was just amazing. And he was able to really write a storyline that touched everybody. Somebody has either done it or had it done to them.
Thinking about doing it.
Right. And I think that's what made the song so popular because, you know, it was everyday life. It's an explanation of a series of events that have happened and can happen in everyday life. But people, we never got a bad reaction from anybody about it because, most people are not exactly down with the cheating kind of thing. You know what I mean? That's kind of a bad one. Because it was done with such kind of fun, tongue-in-cheek kind of way, you know, people loved it. And we really were shocked at the success of that song. When it was released in 1982, that song rose to number one so fast.
Very quick. It was real quick. And we never really delved into what the meaning of the song was. And a lot of people say it's about cheating, but the song never cheat. So, you know, but it was a song.
guitar comes in, that don't, everybody
yes.
Says, hey.
Yes, that's Good Sierra. Aníbal is his real name for all of the Spanish folks listening out there, because I love to say it. Aníbal Sierra, also known as Butch, is our guitarist, and that guy really was extremely talented. He was more so influenced by rock guitarists, but he could still play a mean solo, you know, and if you listen to many of, especially like our ballads, you can hear, you know, solos that he has come up with, and he's an amazing, incredible musician.
And then also another song, oh my God, I call it one of my favorite B-sides of that album, When You Touch Me. Oh,
that,
my God. Man.
That took a lot of people over the edge. There was a couple that lived down the block, and a couple months after the song came out, she came down the block. I cannot remember that child's name to save my life. She was so sweet. She said, "You know what you did, right?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You know I'm pregnant, right?" I said, "That ain't your fault." Okay? You
can
let that one on.
Yeah, that song
maybe
is
making music is what.
Yes, that song. Wow. And we even got a great reaction. Apparently, Bob, would you say out there in California, "When You Touch Me" was the number one song, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh wow.
And I do remember hearing it. It was funny because I was shocked when they used to have those Columbia House records, and you know, you can buy two for a penny or whatever. And there was these love songs or whatever. It was volume 1, 2, and 3 with about like 15 songs on it. And When You Touch Me was on one of those cassettes, and I still have that cassette somewhere in the back in the box somewhere.
And the song was so sweet and short. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I get chills every time I hear that song, because that whole album just gave you a mood.
Yeah.
You're like, you want to be in a party mood, you can put on this song, and if you want to be in a loving mood, like, Let's Celebrate is my other jam off the album, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I said they put their foot in this album, because I saw the transitioning of your music. Because you was going out the disco age. So now it was just like with the... Because you came... Like, you guys start going in like with Cameo, the Bar Case.
Right.
It's like you guys were in that center of real music. And everybody had a piece of the pie, which everybody had a plaque. So everybody had shows. And I was just like, oh my God, this... And then I started buying albums along with you guys' album, and you guys had a catalog. And then when you guys started transitioning to like the late 80s with the Start of a Romance, and that album right there, oh my God, I was just listening to it yesterday. And I used to have the cassette. I still do have the cassette.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jackie has
okay.
Yeah, and my other song off that album was Let's Touch. I said, why did I put this as a single? I said, why? And I love Real Love.
It's so strange, Jay, that we have so many songs that, and some of them we have never performed on stage. But you go to different places and people will start to mention songs that we never performed and that were on the B-side. That they absolutely, you know, absolutely loved. And that is the thing. We laugh sometimes, and we said if we ever had to do all our songs that people loved, it would be a 3-hour show. So, you know.
Right.
3 hours. And so it's we go in certain markets and people request certain songs. And sometimes these are songs that we never did. And we were like, well, what's the words? And then we got to turn around and we got to relearn the song all over again.
We went to France.
You know,
and we had to do stuff that we hadn't done ever, or hadn't done in a long, long time. And oddly enough, one or two of the ones that we had to do in France, I was like, you know what, I kind of like this song.
Right, because we have to refresh our own recollection because we have, you know, such a huge catalog. But just for a half a second back to When You Touch Me, and I believe Let's Touch as well. I'm trying to remember. But Solomon Roberts, who was, you know, the leader of the band and co-producer, was really an amazing ballad writer.
He wrote the most beautiful love song.
He could put lyrics together in a ballad that really, you know, just would send chills up your spine, and it always, again, told a beautiful story, you know, of love. You know what I mean? So that's one of the things I used to love about, like, you know, singing songs that Solomon wrote.
And then, like, with Real Love, I said, Denise kind of aggressive on this song. I'm like, whoa. I said.
And Solomon
wrote
that one, too.
I said, whoo. And I said, the sister singing background with it, Denise just tearing them, saying, you want to make love to me? And, I mean, I said, whoo. I said, you done started a trend.
Well, that's
with
another
that song
that tells an amazing story, because how many people haven't been in a situation where you, you know, you've had a bad relationship, you know, and now you're jaded and you don't really, you know, you're afraid to kind of step over into love again, you know? And some people, I would imagine with young people these days, see, back then you might have had maybe that happen once or twice, the way from what I'm hearing, the way going now, people are doing, they're doing this almost daily, you know what I mean? Hearts being broken,
because...
and you find out he's with her and the other one and the third and... You know, so it's about that kind of thing. But, you know, it also harkens to what real love needs to be about between a man and a woman. You know what I'm saying? It's in a relationship. It's got to be, you know, you can't be afraid to step over into that in any relationship. You can't be afraid to step into that person and make the best decisions actually about choices of who you're with. You know what I mean? That's really the bottom line.
And then, like, where, like, the music was, like, still changing, you guys were singing about love. And then, like, when you start going into the mid-90s, the love songs start talking about the imagination ain't there no more. It's just like, boom, like an open book.
It got to the point where it became too much. You know what I'm saying?
It still is.
And still is, you know, a little too much. I don't even have the time, don't even really listen to the radio, unless it's sometime it's an oldie station or whatever, because it's just the music. Either, A, you can't understand what they're saying.
Oh, yeah, and since
that's number one.
And then
second of all, the music is just, it's too descriptive.
Right.
And it's just talking about the same thing over and over and over, or it's too violent. And so I think this is the reason why a lot of people are appreciating the fact that the legends are come out of the woodwork and are working, such as ourselves, because you would be surprised how many old school shows that are out there, people are killing to go to because they're just getting tired of what they're hearing on the radio today.
Right. And, like, the transitioning, like, with, like, because, like, the two albums, like, the last two albums that you came out with, I think because it was lack of the promotion, because, like, they were both good projects to me, Nearer to You and From the Left Side. Very two good, strong projects that I felt that the label at the time was not trying to push it because of the transitioning of music and everybody wanted more youth. And then hip-hop start going into that route also. So a lot of the labels start trying to be in a competitive way to, you know, hire hip-hop artists. And with you guys, like the songs, like Giving It to You, oh my God, I just was like, wow. I mean, and it's just crazy that you guys stuck in there. But I felt that the label did not push you, because I still was riding with you guys. And then, like, afterwards, I didn't hear from you guys no more. So at that time, what was you guys doing after you guys left that industry part? Not being fired.
Being stunned. Body said we were being stunned. Well, I get it. I get why she's saying that. Because you're right, Jay. From our perspective, to me, that was some of the best vocal work that we have done in our entire career life, okay? And if it weren't for really Start of a Romance, which was written by Tommy McConnell, our drummer, and Real Love, okay, those two songs kind of brought us back. And that's one of the interesting things that they bring out in The Unsung as well, that, you know, just when everybody thought that Sky was off the scene, we would come back with something that would be like, wow, you know? But so what we decided to do for about 3 or 4 years, we just got somewhere and sat down, Jay. You know what I'm saying? Because we have been running with the industry for quite some time on the road. Bonnie and Dolores's children, you know, were growing up. And, you know, we decided let's just kind of chill out a little bit. We had driven our poor mother crazy with, you know, basically watching the kids and you know, calling her with this, that, and the third on the road, mommy this, mommy that. So it was really about 4 years. We just laid back. We got over the shock of
nothing.
And guess what? We all have always had day jobs. You know, we've always had, except for that 1 year, the big 1982 year with Call Me, the Call Me tour with Kool & the Gang. I'm a legal secretary by trade. Dolores is also a legal secretary.
But at the time, I was working in medical field.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
right.
That's right.
I was a legal secretary.
Yeah. So we just were able to, and the general availability, they had what they call temp agencies back
that's
in the
right.
day.
So
they still have them, but we
not
would
like cons- that back then.
Not like back then. We would consistently work. Every time we'd go out on the road and come back, we call our agencies and back, you know, we would get back to work and work for several months. I mean, I, for a long time, just temped. I didn't have
that's
like a permanent job.
For a very long time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we temped for a very long time. And we just, you know, did that for a little while. But you know what happened, Jay? They kept playing our records
that's
on
right.
the radio.
And the buzz was always there. You know, it was always there. Once you are a performer, once you are a singer, you don't lose that fire to do that. You know, and
exactly.
But you just don't know that you still have the audience for that. And so we just decided, you know, along comes Austin.
Yeah.
Who decided that.
Shout out to Austin. Austin.
Yay, Austin, call me Wilkinson.
You know,
yes.
We could still do this, and then people were actually interested in booking us, even though at that time we started out a little slow and a little small.
Right, and local. More local.
And then all of a sudden there was a buzz, and people realized that we were still out there. People realized that they were still going to get the same show that they got when we were Sky.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that was what really started to interest people in Ladies of Sky, because they would see us and they were like, oh, it's like you took me back to the 1980s. You know, they were surprised that they were still going to get the same quality of show that they did when we were with the band.
Right, and I think it's a blessing now that everybody's riding the Sky train again and they still on board with it, because in these times where they have these old school acts, they actually going overseas to the UK, which they appreciate soul music so much. And I could see you guys traveling overseas. And I heard that you guys are going to be overseas soon.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We are beside ourselves with joy. We're going to be going to Paris, France. That's going to be an April 3rd show. Shout out to Use Funky Use, who's the promoter that is bringing us out there. We were actually there in 2015. We had a wonderful opportunity. Juan Luis Fernandez brought us over there. And we have such an amazing fan base. You would not believe how much the French audiences love funk, R&B music.
Yeah.
When we went in 2015, we had people bringing
shopping bags
with our albums in them. I mean, and many of them had all the albums, okay,
and
wanting us to sign
each and every one of them.
Every one of them. The fans over there are just, you know, they're so wonderful, and the hospitality when we go there is the same as well. So I am happy to say that we will be there from April the 1st to the 5th. The fourth. The show is on April the 3rd, and we're very much looking forward to it. And interestingly, we're going to be working with a band over there. And the other thing that I want to say is they love our music so much that they're one of the few places that we've gone where they mimic our music exactly. The last time we went, we worked with a band that was headed by a man by Magoo, and Magoo himself writes a lot of his own funk. You know, he's still writing funk now from the 80s, you know, and it's new material because they love that style of music so much. So we're looking forward to getting there and finally seeing Paris, because the last time we went to Lyon, but this time we're going to go to Paris and get to see our friends that we met 4 years ago, who we've kept in touch with all this time, thanks to Facebook, I have to say.
Wow. And I'm just thankful that now in the times of days where you have fans like me that loves music, especially you ladies and the band, social media plays a good platform for you guys. So, you know, it's just advertising. It's like pretty much hands on because everything's accessible back then, the day where everything, you have to go out and promote your album and play it on the radio. And so now you can have internet radio like the platforms that I have now, where people get to, you know, set a brand for themselves. And I feel that the team that you're working with, they are doing good with you ladies, because I see everything that you are doing. And it's amazing. It's really amazing.
Well, we're very fortunate to have acquired our media team, which includes KP Boisseau, his beautiful, lovely wife, Nini. Shout out to them and their team, Kendall and Face, as we call them. And
shout out to Dre, who's our social media.
Yes, Andre.
Wow.
He's the one that told us, y'all need to be on Instagram. And we was like, well, okay, you'll take care of that, because we don't know how to do all that stuff. So we're and we had a wonderful young lady by the name of Christina Johnson, who also worked on our electronic press kit. So she's kept that up to date. And as far as our look is concerned, we have to give kudos to Dwayne Gazi White and Rajin Gazi White of Renew Artists. They are the ones who
shout out to them.
Yeah.
Very good people.
Yes, those guys.
Nice people as well.
Yes, those guys really, you know. And then we have to give Asa Love Child. You know, then we have like our personal close people that just look out for the ladies, so to speak.
We have such a great team. And Alicia Smith, who is our makeup artist. Then we have our behind the scenes. We have, like Denise said, Asa Love Child. We have Helena Crump, Vera Foster, my niece and Dolores'
daughter.
Anissa Milligan and her husband Eugene. We have Ophelia Gray. We have so many people that stand behind the Ladies of Sky, and this is what keeps us running so smoothly.
And we never have to even, like, if we're at a show, we never even have to look around, because somebody's always saying, "What do you need?"
Yeah,
right. That's a good thing.
And a lot of them already know and have it in front of you before you even think it out your head.
Yeah, and it's again, I want to reiterate, Jay, it's again that family atmosphere that we bring to everything that we do. You know what I'm saying? And that's not to get Bonnie's husband, James Williams.
He's our stage manager. I don't never call him by his name. I call him husband.
Yes. I mean, when you treat people well, my mother one of the things that our mother and father instilled in us is humility, okay? So in spite of, you know, everybody else being all excited about who we are, you know, we still figure we're still the three girls from the projects in Brooklyn. You know what I mean? And so we carry ourselves that way. We know what we need. It takes a team of people to do what we do and to make it look good and do it well. So we don't, you know, treat anybody badly. We don't elevate ourselves above anybody else. You know, it is just so much easier that way. You know what I mean? We could just be ourselves, really.
Right. And the team of people, and like I said, that like in this industry, when you have people that come in, they should be treated, you know, just like family. It should be like a family bonded, so everybody have each other back. It should not be like a competitive thing. And what I see, what your brand is doing, I see it all. I mean, I see the bonding. I see the plateau. I mean, it's running so smooth. And even like with the Lady of Skies YouTube channel, I watch it all the time. I'm like, wow. I'm like, wow. And, you know, I'm serious. I'm like, wow. Like, it's current, it's fresh, and it's you guys. So it's like you really didn't have to do too much. It's like
well,
you still.
You know what it is, too, Jay? Listen, we're good. We're experts at singing and performing. That's what we do. You've got to let the other people do what they do. The makeup artists, we can't put on our own makeup. I mean, we can put some makeup on, but it ain't going to look like that. It ain't going to look like Lucian. It's not going to look like Cherokee Black. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to look like Casey Maldonado. We got a young lady that we call upon whenever we go down to Philly and the D.C. area, right? Atlantic City.
Look,
Atlantic City.
We've gotten so bad, we find makeup artists wherever we go. We be like,
that's right. That's what we just made a relationship with a new girl out in California. When we get ready to go out to California, and I already warned her. I said, listen, we are regular people, so
that's
be prepared.
Right.
You know what I mean? Be prepared. So that's what, and so but getting back to letting them do what they do, I mean, KP has such an amazing vision for the videos. He surprises us. The last couple of videos that he did, we had no idea that he was going to take it in the direction that he does, and that's because he's an expert at what he does.
He sees things that we see after the fact. It was like, oh, wow. That's a really cool shot.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we let everybody do what they do. We've been very fortunate. The young lady who did our EPK, she works for Pastry. We met her on the bus. You know, just to show you how things happen. We were on our way to work. She was on the bus. We would talk for weeks. She would tell us about how she was the marketing director for Pastry, which is the Simmons Girls sneaker line.
Right. Uh-huh.
And we talked and talked and talked. And then we said, well, do you think that you might be able to help us out with our EPK? And honey, that girl did the thing. You've seen the EPK, so you know she put that thing together amazingly. You know what I mean?
And you know, and I snatched some of them pictures from that EPK to do my promotion for it. I was like,
yes, you did.
My God.
Yes.
I said, these pictures are phenomenal.
Those pictures are from Dwayne Gazi White from Renews and Robert Clyde Grima, who is the photographer. See, the interesting thing about that is Nigel, the other makeup artist.
Oh, my goodness.
Those guys are all in the modeling. Dwayne works for New York Models. He's like the artistic director or whatever for New York Models. So he works with these, you know, the beautiful people on a day-to-day basis. So we were like, well, okay, if you can do that for them, you can hook us up. So he put his team together, and that's how we get this amazingly beautiful photographs, you know, because he puts a specific team together to do that. So we are smart in that we remain humble, we do what we do, and we leave those things to the people who know what they're doing. And it's worked out really well, as you stated.
Yes, I mean, they did good because I looked at the behind the scenes of it, and I was in awe with it. I said, yes, my girls are coming for y'all. They coming for y'all. I said, my girls are coming. I'm telling you,
yes.
I was just so ecstatic that Dwayne worked with you guys. I mean, I was just like, because me and him have something in common too. We're soul music fans, and it's so ironic that we love the same type of music. So when I saw that he was working with you ladies, I gasped because I was just like in awe with it. Because I was like,
yeah.
Wow, they still look amazing. I mean, y'all are preserved. I'm serious. Y'all are preserved.
We know how to go to sleep.
And that's the other thing, Jay. We go to bed. You know what I'm saying? We get our rest, baby, because we are not joking.
That's right.
We get our rest. So
well, I finish.
Try to call Bonnie. What time, Bonnie, you in
that's
the bed?
Right,
what time is Bonnie
you better,
in the
bed? If you calling me after 8, it better be about some money.
And then go to Austin, too. Believe it or me.
But at 5 o'clock, I got my night clothes on. You don't think I'm going to share to put my night clothes on when I get finished talking to you?
I'm the
night owl. Oh, yeah. And so are you guys going to be doing any unsung, like, premiere parties out?
Yes, we are planning in the planning stages for that right now. We're so happy to have Shayla Scott from WBLS radio station,
wow.
Which is the number one station, R&B station here in
that's
New
major.
York, classic R&B station. She
that's
is
major.
Going to be our hostess. Shayla has been with us from the day one when we first started Ladies of Sky, and she used to do her Sisterly Kiss events. She would always have us come and perform, and so we have special affection for her, and, you know, here we go with the loyalty thing again. So when we asked her, you know, would she be available, and plus she's in our episode as well. she said absolutely, and she put us on to an amazing venue in downtown Newark, which has all the screens, enough screens for everybody to be able to come. We're going to do a nice celebrity watch party on March 5th. Yes, and we're going to invite, you know, all of our, these are like people, so I'm backtracking a little bit. We belong to an organization called the National R&B Music Society. Shout out to Vanessa Jordan
and
to Stuart Bascom of
Black
Ivory
and Maria.
That's right, Maria Miller. They have been so supportive of us as well over the years. So we've decided to, you know, just have all of the people who are doing the same thing we're doing, keeping classic music alive. We're going to have a big party, and some of our friends, you know, our closest personal friends will be there. To enjoy this viewing party, this watch party, as they call it now. And we're, as a matter of fact, when we get off the phone with you, we're going to be working feverishly to set up our guest list for that. Because
wow.
Guess what? We'll be at Power Casino with the Cays and Lakeside on the day before the watch party, on March 14th. We're going to be out in California at the Power Casino. So, we're going to have everything in place.
You better get on that bus, Jay.
Jay, you better, that's right. You better come on back with us.
Hey, I'm trying to work. Well, I'm actually trying to go out to the casino. I'm actually working on that right now.
Yeah, when I'm
good.
Back, you better come on.
That's right.
Yes, I'm working
on
that. I'm trying to work on that right now because this is like real major, and I appreciate you guys. I know I keep saying thank you so many times. I know y'all probably sick of time me saying thank you.
Not at all.
You are so sweet.
We're glad this day finally came, sweetheart, really.
Yes, and
right.
Jay and I have been talking for a long time on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And then when I found out who she was, she looked familiar. Because I didn't really know your real name. And then I did some investigation, and I said, hold up, that's Bonnie from Sky. I've been talking to her all this time. I said, oh, my God, I am done. I said, wow. And it was so ironic because I just started going, telling her how much that you guys' music impacted me so much as a soundtrack of my life. And I still have you guys vinyl. I still listen to you guys' music, but I'm more like a B-side person. of you guys' music. I'm not more of the commercial singles that came out. I'm more like I go into the album. I don't just go to, that song that's out now. I go into the album. So that's how much I love you guys' music, and it played a big part of my life. And to you guys took the time and for the rebranding of 2020 to come out and do this with me, it means so much to me from the bottom of my heart. And thank you, Austin, again for all this setup, because, I mean, Austin is a good man. I mean, he set this up so smooth. And I was just like, wow. I'm just humbled right now. Like, wow. I just say wow every time. Mm-hmm.
Listen, this has been one of the more interesting, comfortable interviews that we've done, and I'm sure we'll be doing plenty more, but talking to you is so easy. And again, even before, you know, you and I and Austin have had conversations, as you said, setting this thing up, and it's nothing more flattering than to hear you say, or someone like you say, that you, even before you knew us, you fell in love with what we do. And that means the world to us. You have no idea how much we appreciate it. And for you to say that you like the B-sides, that means that you came home, you brought the album, you put it on the needle on the record, and you didn't take the needle off. Because the next song was just as good, the next song was good, the next song was good. And then you flipped it up.
And you guys never had a bad album. Never. Everything was so polished. Like, everything on you guys' album from day one. I mean, everything was polished. I mean, you guys were the Saturday morning cleanup music.
Yes. Well, I'm telling you, Randy and Solomon were incredible producers. The later albums, we did have some outside production.
Engineers
who are, again, family. You know, the family atmosphere was in effect. And you know, you mentioned how things kind of changed, right? You know, like we didn't get as much airplay on the later albums. And, again, that's because the industry was changing. And back then, honey, also, record company heads, you know, changed as well. You know what I mean? Right. As the hip-hop era entered, then a lot of those guys who were at the, you know, heads of the record companies all got canned, and when one got canned, everybody under them got canned. So now you're dealing with a whole other set of people, you know. But listen, that's just the game. That's how the game is played. We out here now, we're considered, as you say, as they say, independent artists. And we're doing what independent artists do, but we're so happy to be able to have people like you that care enough about what we do that you want to sit and spend some time with us and talk about what we do. So we thank you, Jay, for that.
Absolutely.
Yay! Thank you. And I'm just letting you guys know that I have you guys 110% back.
Thank you.
For any events. I'll post them up, I'll blow them up, I'll put them on group pages. I just want people to know that you guys are still here and still doing it. And with this unsung episode that's about to come, I'm telling you, and I'm praying in the universe, this is going to be major for you guys. I'm telling you.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you,
it's going to be really major.
We're still going to do what we do, and, you know, like we say, we've had some lean years and we've had some good years. It looks like 2020 is going to be a good year. We're going to keep you posted on everything that we're doing. And especially
please
if we get to that West Coast, baby, you better be right there at that hotel room watching us transition from the everyday Brooklyn girls to the glamour girls that you love. Let Bonnie, believe you me, Bonnie will have that scarf on her. Be clear about that.
I thank you, ladies, for doing this show again. And before we go, I want you guys to announce your where guys can contact you guys, information like your social media handles. So
the best way to contact us is through our manager, Mr. Austin Kwame Wilkinson. His number is 347-645-1061. You can also reach out to me on my email, Lady Sky, that's LadySkyY2@yahoo.com. We are also on Facebook, Ladies of Sky Facebook page, and we answer any and everybody who messages us. So we also have a Ladies of Sky group that you can comment on and also speak on. We are on Instagram, the official Ladies of Sky, and we are also on Twitter. But you can reach me on Twitter through my own name, Denise L. Wilkinson, W-I-L-K-I-N-S-O-N. And Dolores and Bonnie both have Facebook pages. So Benita Williams and Dolores.
Yeah, and I don't know nothing about no Instagram.
Bonnie said no. Forget about Bonnie and Instagram.
Bonnie, I was just about to ask you, Bonnie, why you don't have no social media but Facebook?
No, because I stay too much. I am on Facebook.
She's on Facebook, but not Twitter
that's
and Instagram.
Like, you know what? That's where I get most. That's where I do my work is on Facebook. Who you think me answering a lot of those folks?
That's right. It's Bonnie.
It's me.
she trolls her own.
I troll
she trolls Ladies of Sky page,
right.
And then says to me, "Oh, Denise, you got to answer so and so. Oh, so and so sent the inbox. So and so did this. So thank God for Bonnie, really."
So now we know, and now I know.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
thank you,
sure.
Ladies, again. I'm looking
thank
forward
you.
To the Unsung episode. That's going to be Sunday, March 15th. So check your local listings and show date and time for that. And also, they'll be out in, what's the casino again?
Pala Casino in Pala, California. It's about 50 miles from San Diego. But I'm sure the West Coast folks, you know, already know where it's located. But, yeah, we're very much looking forward to that because, honey, we're going to be with the funk crew. Who we have performed with back in the day. So this is going to be like, I hope, another, you know, family reunion because we're the only ladies on the bill, so we're going to bring the funk, baby. You can believe it.
Right, right. And the ladies always save the best for last, always.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And thank you guys again for listening in to Soul Cravers Radio. I'm your host, Jay Ross. Thank you again. Good night. Goodbye.
Good night. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.